This is Camila Salvano. It is June 28th, 2025. I am here to conduct an oral history interview with Mayor Kamal Johnson as part of the Oral History Summer School Program. And we are at City Hall in Hudson, New York. Can you introduce yourself?
Kamal Johnson, Mayor of the City of Hudson. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. So we've covered a couple of different things. Is there anything we've already discussed about your time as mayor, the pandemic, the quality of life here in Hudson, the Tale of Two Cities that you want to share more about?
No, I think that covers it.
I hear a lot about what Hudson is good for. I've heard people say antiquing. I've heard people say the food. What's Hudson good at?
I would say one of the main traits that made Hudson interesting for people was the diversity. There's such a huge arts community. We are the only city in the county, so we have a mixture of different people and traditions and different things that happen in the city. So nowhere else can you find that inner city life, and then drive or walk a few minutes, and then you can hike and kayak and do all the things that you can do in really rural life.
And can you tell me, who are the people and families that make up Hudson?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of families that make up Hudson over the years. Sadly, a lot of those families have been pushed out due to gentrification. We have families that are literally fighting for survival to stay here. And a lot of those are, families who have helped build Hudson to what it is today. Made it so people came here and they thought like, wow, this is, somewhere I'd like to live, because they saw how people were living and interacting when they came to visit. So that's the toughest thing for me as an elected official, is like finding that balance in making Hudson better, but at the same time making it so people feel comfortable enough to stay here. And, they're not afraid. During my first campaign, I remember a constituent saying to me, like, I would be okay if Hudson didn't get any better. And that's like, real, because it's like the more better it gets, it feels like people with wealth are coming in to remove, people who have been rooted and grounded here.
That's a really striking testimony to hear from a constituent, because I think the shininess and dazzling parts of Hudson suggest one thing, but you knock on someone's door and you're hearing another story about potential displacement.
Yeah, and that's, with everything. It's with, our parks, it's with the beautification of our city. Anything that feels new feels like more attention is going to come to Hudson, and people are going to be pushed out of their homes. Hudson and Kingston were the number one migration from New York City and all the bigger cities in New York State during COVID. And yet our population dropped, ironically. And that's because people came in and they bought family homes and they turned them into single family homes, and people were pushed out. Or we had second homeowners who would normally rent their second home out, and they came and they ended up staying, so those families got pushed out. So it was very tough to have so many people come in but double the people have to leave.
And when thinking about the few families that are still here, what What are their kids experiencing? Because I think for adults, it's easy to articulate and recognize the drive or the motivations that people bring to a destination like Hudson mm-hmm. for the reasons you just named. It's beautification, it's dynamic landscapes, it's recreation. Mm-hmm. But what about the kids who are here, who are growing up here?
Yeah, I think it's the changes are very tough on them because, you know, they walk by these stores, but they'll never go in their entire life. They live next to these places that they'll never be able to afford something. They live across from these restaurants that they could never eat at. And I remember talking to the high school students when we were working on bringing back Winter Walk. And I was like, what would you guys most like to see? And every one of them said like some kind of chain restaurant or affordable food, you know, where, you know, they can go hang out, eat something for cheap, and, you know, it would be inviting and comfortable, and that's something that, you know, we don't have.
And what do you have for kids?
So we have, you know, our youth center, we have a string of not-for-profits who, you know, are going all out for our kids and really giving them, you know, the vision of a better future and the distraction from, you know, whatever they're going through in their life. And, you know, that's why I care so much about our youth center and our youth programming. When I ran for councilman back in 2017, I ran on a platform, you know, about youth. And that's something that was important to me because I was a troubled youth. And like, if I didn't have those programs, I wouldn't be where I am, you know, right now.
Can you share more about how the youth center played a role in your life and your upbringing?
Yeah, so I started going to the youth center when I was probably 8, 9 years old. And, you know, I went there to play basketball and to box and different things like that. And that's where I met one of my early mentors, Todd Smith. And when I seen him, myself and my friends, we would see him at summer program and at the youth center, and he dressed like us. Like, he wore Jordans, he wore, like, you know, he had Air Maxes that matched his staff shirt. And like, for us, it was just like, whoa, like, this is insane. Like, we've never seen like an adult in this type of leadership role where it feels like I can be that, like I can be him. And you know, we really looked up to him, and he really cared for the kids at the youth center and still does to this day. So that's something that for me, when people like always ask me like, what's my legacy? Like, I don't care about like having my name on anything or doing anything big. To me, my legacy is the fact that I'm able to like walk in a room and young kids and teenagers are like, he did it. Like, so I know I can do it and I could probably do it better. And so like, that to me is the most important, is that visual. And that's like what we gotta have in our programs. It's what we gotta have, you know, in our not-for-profits, and kids need to see people that look like them, you know, succeed.
That's a really powerful statement, and one that I wholeheartedly agree with. I think when thinking about children, if they are not getting all the support that they need at home, they're going to look elsewhere for it. Mm-hmm. And if they see it from a counselor or a teacher or another kid's parent, mm-hmm. it can really leave a mark on them, and it can really help guide them onto a path where they're curious and hopeful for a future and excited for their future.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, that was like a lot of, you know, I had a lot going on at home. So when I would go to the youth center and these different programs, that was the biggest distraction from home life, you know. And also you're around kids who are going through similar things. So, you know, it makes it feel sort of normal and comforting. And at the same time, you know, you're looking for what you can do different in life.
Can you tell me more about the youth center today, what it delivers mm-hmm. for children and their families?
Yeah, so the youth center plays a huge factor. It's really a community center. A lot of our kids get their dinner there. They serve dinner and snack, you know, every day, and it's a hot dinner of like real actual food. And for some of our kids, that's their only dinner. They'll sit there in a family style, everybody at tables and, you know, talking to each other, and the staff serves the food and eats with them. And, you know, it's a good time. It also, you know, offers a lot of programs. So a lot of times our kids in the city of Hudson don't really get into the nature outside of Hudson, and, you know, it bridges that gap. And it's just so many things that are done and can be done at the youth center that really, you know, change the way families are able to live in Hudson. It's free programming, and the kids, it's not like the other programs where, you know, you may be at the school, so you stay after school, so you're already there, but the kids, like, it's their volunteer, they volunteer to go there. It's their choice. And that's, you know, tough. And that's also the good thing is, like, if a kid walks in the door, he wants to be there because he doesn't have to walk in that door.
And can you tell me more about what's at stake right now for the youth center?
Yeah, so, you know, taxes in New York are very high. Taxes in Hudson are high. And one of the things that we have when we have a lot of gentrification and people coming in is people come in and a lot of times they don't have kids, or they send their kids to private schools or, you know, different programs. So they don't really have or know the tradition of what the youth center is doing. So when we have council members and candidates and other folks who look at the budget and they want to do all of these things to change the city's format, the one budget that is flexible is the youth center budget, because a lot of that is in programming. The police budget, DPW budget, you know, all of that is tied up in contracts, so it's less flexible. So a lot of times the youth center becomes that, like, place where you can take from, and then that means taking from our young people. When I came in office at 2019, the youth center budget was $300,000, and that covers an aging building, all of programming, and then another building and a full lake. And that's, you know, not a lot at all.
Because I'm not from here, can you explain to me how the budget vote happens?
So the mayor, the treasurer, and the common council president come together to create the budget. We ask for requests from each department, and the department will give us their requested budget. And then there's three rounds basically where we'll eliminate different things to try to fit in so we have a balanced budget. So once that's done and we create a budget, the Common Council reviews it and then they vote on it. While they were voting on it, you know, at the end of last year, the idea of privatizing the youth center, which has come up in multiple years, but it really, like, intensified recently, came up, and they were saying, you know, 50% of the kids at the youth center come from outside of Hudson, so the surrounding areas of the county, and most of them were Greenport kids. Greenport is, you know, right at the border of Hudson, and a lot of those kids, probably 90% of them, were gentrified out of Hudson and had to move there. So they've been going to the youth center their whole life, and now, you know, the council wants those families to have to pay to attend the youth center, which, you know, those families can't afford.
What are you expecting from the vote?
So I'm expecting things to be fine this year, but next year I'm very afraid on what could happen to the youth center. And I think there has to be an attention placed on how much we would be spending if we didn't have the youth center. Kids would be, you know, out on the street doing what kids do. You know, we would have a lot more kids going into the justice system. We would be adding on to the school to prison pipeline. And it would be tough for families because we in Hudson and in the county were designated a child care desert by the state. So there isn't a lot of opportunities, especially affordable ones, for people to send their kids.
This is a tough question, but who has the power to help keep the youth center intact?
I think the people, you know, when, you know, the people talk about, you know, that they're displeased that the youth center could potentially be cut or privatized. One of the things that council members and candidates have said is, since we have so many not-for-profits working with our youth, we don't need the youth center, which is, you know, not true. The youth center serves about 40 to 50 kids a day, and no other program can take on that amount of kids and has a gym, which is, you know, super important. So I think people have to understand, especially people that are newer to Hudson or may not have any involvement with the center, what it means to the city, and that, you know, this is a good use of your tax dollars. You know, and when we're talking about what we want stuff to pay for as a taxpayer, like, yes, this is absolutely the thing that we want to pay for. We don't need more officers, we don't need, you know, different things, more staff, or, you know, and we need things for our youth to keep them out of trouble and, you know, headed into a bright future.
I'm thinking about something you shared in another oral history, and that was that you really appreciate the gift of public speaking,
mm-hmm.
and that you recognize that through public speaking you can build connections. And I think here in Hudson and elsewhere, I can just imagine a lot of people who are looking to get unified around a strong voice. When thinking about the youth center and thinking about Hudson and how its population is dwindling, yet there are so many people coming here and buying property and treating this city as a temporary place. What is your message to your constituents, to your colleagues? Like, what is top of mind when you really think about what it is that you are responsible for right now?
Yeah, I think I touched on this a little bit in the recent debate, and I said, you know, we want new people to come in. You know, we always want to grow our community and have new families come in, new relationships. But at the same time, there's a way to come into a community respectfully, and there's a way to integrate yourself into the fabric of that community. You know, the thing that people who have been born and raised here usually say is, like, how people come in and they fall in love with it and then they want to change everything about it. And I think that's not the mindset. There's people who have come in and really got involved, became firefighters, you know, volunteered on boards, mentor and, you know, our youth. Like, there's ways to come in and get involved and know more without, you know, reading a blog or, you know, the newspaper.
As mayor, are you seeing a lack of engagement from constituents? Because it sounds like you're suggesting that there are people, new families coming here that want to be involved in a genuine way and want to be proactive and understand the long evolved history and politics of this place. Are you seeing the opposite from?
Yeah, you know, there are a crop of people who, you know, they just see a dollar sign on Hudson, and that's not everybody new at all. But there is a crop of people who see this as an investment, and, you know, they don't care what happens to the youth here. They don't care what happens to the middle class, especially the lower middle class. They just see this as an investment where they can make money or a place where they can make a name for themselves. And it's unfortunate. And I think we need a lot of the newer people who, you know, don't think like that, just to figure out how we can get them involved in many different aspects of the city. And then that creates a huge divide, because a lot of the people here are resentful of anyone new. So if you're coming in with new and you have good intentions, it's a good chance that you come in, you don't feel welcome as well, because there's people that have come before you that have taken advantage of the city.
That's really tough, because you can understand both sides. And as mayor, how are you working to get pre-existing residents and newcomers to recognize their differences and samenesses?
Yeah, that's one of the hardest parts of the job. Because a lot of times people who are new don't really understand the fear that people have. So a lot of times they think that people are just overreacting, or, you know, they're just not into people coming in. But, like, there's a real fear of new people coming in and people who have been ingrained here being pushed out, traditions being canceled. You know, we had complaints about Flag Day, which is Hudson's biggest day, you know, and that we celebrate, and some of the stores on Warren Street were like, you know, we don't want it here anymore because it has to close the street for parking, and, you know, we're not getting the normal traffic that we would get on that day. And for the people who know Hudson, this is like Hudson's like main day. Like, everybody loves Flag Day. So when you have things like that, it's tough, because we start to lose traditions as, you know, less and less people can take them on that have the history and the knowledge of them. And people just constantly feel like everything's changing every day.
I love that you mentioned this tradition. Can you share other traditions that you grew up with that kids might be participating in today?
Yeah, you know, summer program is like probably one of the biggest things for kids. Our summer program probably has about 220 kids each summer, and everybody used to love going there. You go there, then you become a worker there, and, you know, it's that full experience of community. You go on field trips and everything. So that's something that, you know, I want to make sure outlasts and outdates me, that we continue to have that for years to come, because those are memories that we'll never forget. I remember things from when I was a child there, and I remember, you know, activities that, you know, when I was a worker, and I meet people and see them now grown, and they tell me, like, remember when you were my staff and we did this and that? And, you know, it's just, it's great. I would, like, my daughter currently works in our summer program now, and that's her first job, and you know, that was my first job, you know, and we both have like parallel first, because her first job was being a peer educator at Planned Parenthood and working at the youth center, and mine was the same thing, being a peer educator at Planned Parenthood and working at the youth center. And, you know, to be young and to be able to make your own money, there's nothing better than that.
There's such a major connection between our childhoods and our adult selves. Mm-hmm. And in speaking with you and learning about how focusing on youth was your entry point into politics is really important to name,
mm-hmm.
because we were all kids.
Mm-hmm.
If you could, this is sort of an imaginative question, but if you could snap your fingers and travel immediately to another time in the past or in the future, where would you go?
I think I'd love to see the future. I'd love to see what the youth of our city have become and how they've taken the reins, basically. Like, when I picked up from an older generation, I wanted to make sure it was better than when I received it. So, you know, I want the same thing for, you know, a younger generation that comes after me. So I'll be excited to see what the landscape is. And that means, you know, Hudson being affordable, Hudson having opportunities for our youth, our school district thriving, and, you know, our young leaders not afraid to come out of their shells and speak up. You know, I'm a shy person, but here I am as mayor.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to share?
No, I just think that, you know, we really need to focus on creating a better future for our residents and starting with our young people. I know firsthand all the lives that the Youth Center has saved, including my own, including my peers. A lot of us still have our trophies from sports that we won at the Youth Center, or ribbons that we won, our Junior Olympics and things like that. And, you know, even if it's something that's not directly tied to you, you should still be able to see the importance in something. And that's what community is about. You know, it's not just about one person or one leader. It's about, you know, traditions. It's about fun. It's about community and loving each other. And that's something that I found at the Youth Center. I know, you know, people before me have found and after. So if it's doing its job where you have, you know, a council where three council members and the mayor have all attended the Youth Center, there's something special there.
Is that true of
Hudson? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we had, when I first was mayor, there were three or four council members who had all come through the Youth Center, and then myself that came through the Youth Center as well, including Calvin, who is the intern director now, when he was on the council. So whenever it came up, we had the direct experience and knowledge of, you know, what the good that it can do and will do and is doing. So, and then you have across from us people who have no clue. So it's important to have that balance.
I'm going to change the course of the conversation a little bit. And you can think about this from the role as mayor, as a parent, as a lifelong resident.
Mm-hmm.
What is a source of pride and joy for you?
I would say when I go and talk to the kids at the elementary school, and I see, like, a lot of them in me, and, like, I see the excitement when I come in the room, even if there's, like, higher elected officials, like the senator and everybody, like, when I come in, I'm, like, their person. And that, like, joy, makes it all worth it, because the job is incredibly stressful. But like, you know, that makes it all worth it. I remember a little white kid two Halloweens ago, he had on a hat like I always wear, and it said mayor at the top, and he was me for Halloween. And I was just like, that's so crazy. But that lets me know that the younger generation is watching, and, you know, what I want my legacy to be is that, you know, they can see someone that came from where they come from, and they can do, you know, what I did and more.
Did you ever imagine growing up that you would have such a huge impact on people?
I didn't. I think my childhood was, you know, survival. So for me, it was like going into the family business, which was, you know, drugs, or, you know, figuring out what to do with my life. You know, I was really at this crossroad where I was like, I can just continue the generational curse, or I can break it. And I knew that I was successful at that when my oldest daughter, somebody said to her, like, well, it's in your blood. You know, you, of course you can speak in public and you can do all these things, like, it's in your blood. And like, I was just like, holy shit. Like, usually when somebody, like, when I'm like acting up, they're like, well, of course, you know, this is what his family does. But to hear that, I was like, wow, that was very eye-opening.
It's such a surreal experience, I imagine, to be able to witness how you've changed your family's legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, it's, and one of the things that I wanted to do was remain myself. And like, I wanted the people to see that I haven't changed because I have a title in front of my name. I'm still me, I still talk the same, I still, you know, and all the things that people liked me for. Like, I didn't just become a different person. Because when I was running, a lot of people said a lot of racist stuff to me. They were like, you gotta wear suits every day, you gotta talk a different way, you gotta be more like Antonio Delgado, which, you know, is a, he's a good friend of mine, but like, we already have an Antonio Delgado, like, we don't need two. And like, they wanted to mold me into somebody that would, you know, be more appeasing to other people. And like, I was like, that's not me. They were like, you gotta take your hat off, it scares white people. And it's like, no, I like to wear a hat. Like, so the fact that I was true to myself and I could look in the mirror and recognize the reflection staring back at me was something that was, you know, extremely important.
I don't think that's something most politicians can say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not. And that's like the issue with, you know, when you're trying to show representation to the youth. Because there was times where even, you know, I would be at the youth center and they would bring in these guys and they would be from like the roughest neighborhoods of like Compton or whatever. And like, now they're a doctor and lawyer. And the way they would talk and the way they would sound and dress, it was like, okay, like, he could do it, but I can't become that. Like, that's not attainable. When it is, you know, you can still be who you are and, you know, go to a different level.
That's a really important lesson.
Like, I don't want to fit in with the surroundings.
I was just going to say, it's not about fitting in.
Mm-hmm.
It's about either finding the space or making the space to belong.
Exactly.
I do want to check in with how you're feeling.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. I'm going to stop the recording.
Mm-hmm.